Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you, when you are making your travel plans, to visit JohnnyDollarAir.com first. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so you can choose from great published specials, or you can name your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, and even more. Plus, when you purchase from JohnnyDollarAir.com, part of your purchase goes to support the program at no additional cost to you. So it's just a great way to support the show. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. It's time for The McLean Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Don Taylor down at Tri-State, Johnny.
Hello, Don. Happy New Year. Belated, of course.
Same to you, Johnny. Listen, would you like to come over to my office and meet a pretty girl?
Sure. Is she interesting?
Very. As a matter of fact, she just told me the most interesting thing I've ever heard.
Oh, what's that?
She just told me that she was dead.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Tri-State Insurance Underwriters International Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McLean matter. Expense account item one, $1, cab fare to the International Building in Don Taylor's office. He was sitting behind his desk when I walked in, talking to a tall, dark-haired girl in her late 20s who was standing casually looking out the window at the street below. She was pretty, she was quiet, and she was well-dressed.
Hello, Johnny. Thanks for coming right over. Glad to have you meet Mrs. McLean.
How do you do?
Hello.
Sit down, Johnny. Make yourself comfortable. Take my desk.
Where are you going?
I'm going to let Mrs. McLean talk to you alone. She has a most unusual story.
Yeah, something about being dead. Isn't that what you said?
Yes, yes. Something about being dead. Mrs. McLean, Mr. Dollar will be handling this matter for Tri-State. I wish you'd tell him exactly what you've just told me. Ring the buzzer when you're through, Johnny.
Oh, sure. would you like to sit down?
He thinks I'm crazy. That's what he thinks. Well, isn't it?
Well, I doubt that. Well, sit down. Let's talk it over.
Of course he does. It's the first I've told it to anybody. It's fantastic. What did he say your name was?
Johnny Dollar.
Dollar. What do you do?
I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh. For him?
For anybody who hires me. Here. Try one of these, Mrs. McLean.
Thank you. I suppose I'll be put in jail, don't you?
Look, Mrs. McLean, why don't you try to tell me some of the facts about, about whatever it is.
The facts are, I'm legally dead, Mr. Dollar. And my husband collected on my insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. When did all this happen?
2 years ago in Los Angeles.
How much money did your husband collect on your insurance policy?
$10,000.
Where is your husband?
In Los Angeles.
I suppose you'd tell me how it worked, Mrs. McLean.
My husband's a doctor, Mr. Dollar. His name's Dave McLean. One night he had a patient come in, a girl. Well, she was in pretty bad shape. She'd been drinking somewhere, and she just came in off the street. Saw his shingle outside the office. I was there helping Dave as a receptionist.
Oh.
Dave took her into one of the examining rooms to see what the matter was. She had a heart attack. She died on the table. Well, there was nothing he could do for her. Nothing anybody could do for her.
Mm-hmm. She died on the table, and then what?
Well, Dave came out and told me what had happened. We looked in her purse to find out who she was and where she lived. There wasn't anything but an address in Jersey City.
No Los Angeles address?
No. Her name was Teresa Corbett. She was from Jersey City, and that's all.
Then what?
Well, Dave called long distance to the place in Jersey City. It was an apartment. He talked to the manager there.
I see. Go on.
Well, Dave didn't say anything about Teresa Corbett being dead. He didn't have a chance, really. The manager was very upset. He told Dave that Teresa's mother had died very suddenly 2 days before. He said he'd been trying to locate her there in Los Angeles. Well, he was very frantic.
Well, go on.
It was just one of those crazy things. The apartment house manager was just about out of his mind. Teresa's mother had died in one of his apartments on his premises. He himself had assumed responsibility for the body. He didn't know what to do about a funeral or anything else. He told Dave that Teresa was all the old woman had in the world. Nobody else.
And Teresa Corbett was dead in your office at the time?
Yes. Well, Dave hung up. I didn't know what he was thinking at first, and then he said to me, "We're in luck."
Hmm.
I asked him what he meant by that, and he said that the girl who had died in our office didn't have anyone in the world and no one would know the difference. Then he told me we'd use her body.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, just like that. He said it was the chance of a lifetime.
Well, go on.
Well, Dave called up Dr. Reed. He had an office across the hall from Dave. He waited a while, and then I hid when Dr. Reed came in. Dave told him that I had had a heart attack. He took him back in the examining room and showed him the body of Teresa Corbett and told Dr. Reed it was me. It was awful.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I hid there in the back office and listened to them talk. They tried oxygen on the girl and shots and everything else. But it was too late. Dave knew it was too late. But, well, Dr. Reed signed my death certificate. 2 days later, they buried Teresa Corbett under my name.
And then what did you do?
Well, I took a hotel room that first night, and then I went down to Palm Springs. Dave said he'd meet me there.
Oh, wait a minute. Dr. Reed had the office across from your husband's?
Yes.
Well, didn't this Dr. Reed know you? Hadn't he seen you around? You said you were acting as a receptionist for your husband.
I'd never met Dr. Reed. He was just new.
Okay. So you went to Palm Springs?
Yes. After the funeral, Dave came down and he said I'd have to disappear for a while. To give him the time to collect the insurance money and straighten out some things.
He collected the money?
Yes. Yes, he did. All of it.
Then what happened?
I came to New York to live. Dave was going to close his practice in Los Angeles and come to New York and we'd be together again. He never met me in New York.
Do you know why he never met you in New York?
No.
Did he write to you?
Yes, for a while. For about 3 months after I left, he wrote me once or twice a week and said that he'd be in New York any day. And then he stopped writing.
Do you have any of those letters?
No. No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Do you know why he stopped writing to you?
No. I have no way of finding out. I couldn't call anyone in Los Angeles and ask them to look into it for me, could I?
Tell me, what is it you feel now, Mrs. McLean?
What?
Well, just what is it you want us to do?
Well, I don't know. What do you do in a case like this?
I've never had a case like this. Why did you come to us?
Well, I've had this thing on my mind almost 2 years. It was wrong to begin with. It's wrong now. I suppose it's because this insurance company was wronged mostly. My husband and I cheated them out of $10,000. At least my husband did.
What about this Dr. Reed?
Well, he didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, he just signed the death certificate, but he didn't know the difference.
You sure about that?
Quite sure about that. I don't want to get anyone into trouble. I mean anyone.
Including Dr. Reed.
Yes. Well, I know how fantastic all of this must sound, but it's the truth. Do you think I'm crazy?
You don't look crazy to me.
What's the saying?
What saying?
Oh, something about how you can leave home, but eventually you have to come back to count the spoons. I guess that's what I'm doing now, telling you all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to tell it to someone after all this time.
Did you get any of the insurance money, Mrs. McLean?
Not a dime.
Were you supposed to?
I suppose so, yes. If Dave had met me...
Would you say the whole thing was his idea?
Yes. Yes, I would. I didn't know what he had in mind that night after he hung up the phone.
You've been living in New York for the last couple of years since it happened, is that right?
Yes. 2257th Street. Apartment 23.
What have you been doing? How do you live?
I've been working. I took a job in a medical lab.
Under your own name?
No. I used the name of Patricia Kennedy.
Is there any way you can prove you're actually Doris McLean?
I could in Los Angeles.
How?
Well, people there know me. Friends I've had all my life.
Were you ever fingerprinted there?
No, I don't think so.
During the war, did you work in a defense plant, maybe?
No.
How about a California driver's license?
I don't drive, no.
Would you be willing to furnish me with a list of names of people who might be able to identify you?
People in Los Angeles?
Yeah, sure, anywhere.
Well, yes, I would, if it's necessary.
It's necessary.
Don't you believe me?
All of this has to be checked, Mrs. McLean. Now, what was the reason for trying to cheat the insurance company?
Oh, Dave was badly in debt. He needed so many things that... Well, it seemed a good way to get them without too much trouble.
You mean burying a girl named Teresa Corbett under your name?
Yes.
A girl without any family anywhere, with a mother who died 2 days before.
Yes.
Very few people in this world are without somebody, somewhere, Mrs. McLean.
Teresa Corbett didn't have anybody, Mr. Dollar. I know that.
Do you know any more about her than what the apartment house manager said on the telephone to your husband?
No.
Do you remember the name of the apartment house manager in Jersey City?
No.
The address?
No.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about all this?
Well, I can't think of anything. No.
Before I ask Mr. Taylor to come back in here, I want to ask you again, why did you come to the insurance company?
What?
Why did you come here to Hartford to the insurance company?
You asked me that once, and I told you. The insurance company were the people that were wrong.
Now look, obviously, you've been living and working in New York and getting along. No one knows anything about this. There was no need for anyone to know anything about it. No need for us to know about it. Now, you'll pardon me, but you don't seem like the type of person who wakes up one morning with a big pain in the conscience. Not at all. Now, you sat here and told me about your husband, how your husband thought of the idea, how your husband hung up the phone, how your husband called in a Dr. Reed to sign a death certificate, how your husband handled every detail, all of it. Not you, Mrs. McLean, your husband. He's the one you want us to get, isn't he?
Yes. He didn't have to meet me in New York once he got his hands on that money. He didn't have to do anything about me. I was dead on paper. And I couldn't go back. I buy a Los Angeles newspaper now and then, and I saw a notice yesterday that he's going to get married again.
I see.
But I'm still his wife. He tricked me.
You helped him to do it. Who's he going to marry there?
I didn't recognize her name.
How old are you?
I'll be 30 next June.
I'm going to ask you something else, Mrs. McLean. Have you ever been in trouble before?
No.
Well, you're in trouble now, if all this is true.
Well, it is true. Now,
would you be willing to sign a statement in front of witnesses containing all the information you've given me here today?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny?
You can phone your legal department, Don. Mrs. McLean is willing to make a statement regarding this whole matter.
All right.
Mrs. McLean, you can make your statement in front of Mr. Taylor and whatever witnesses he wants to use. I'll see you in about an hour or so, Don.
Good.
You're all through with me?
No, there's one more thing, Mrs. McLean. You realize that if what you've told me is true, both you and your husband will be criminally charged?
Well, yes. Yes, I realize that. Oh,
Johnny, for heaven's sake, you're trying to scare
us. I just wanted that part understood. I'll see you.
Johnny, wait a minute.
Don't worry. I'll be around. Plenty. Johnny Dollar.
Don Taylor. What do we do about Doris McLean?
Find out if she's telling the truth about being legally dead and having her husband collect her insurance, Don?
No, Johnny. I mean right now.
You can't press any charges against her or him until we get some facts.
Well, she gave us a statement admitting everything. Can't we file charges on that?
I'd rather not.
Huh? Why?
Oh, just a feeling. Call it a hunch if you like.
Now, wait a minute.
Don, I don't think she's told us the truth. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Tri-State Insurance Underwriters International Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McLean matter. A dead girl who was very much alive. Expense account, item 2, $5. Lunch at a little place called the Copper Kettle for myself and Don Taylor.
I think we should act, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I don't. Not yet. Look, I listened to her whole story. You listened only a part of it, so get this. She was married to a doctor in Los Angeles, Dr. David McLean.
Yeah, yeah.
One night, 2 years ago, a girl named Teresa Corbett walked into his office, a little drunk and a little sick. She had a heart attack. She died. The doctor found a name and a Jersey City address in the girl's purse. He called up the New Jersey address, and an apartment house manager told him the girl's mother, her only living relative, died 2 days before. Dr. McLean hangs up and tells his wife he'll bury the other girl under her name and collect the insurance.
No sense in going into all this, Johnny.
Now, wait a minute. Doris McLean agreed to this. Her husband calls in another doctor and has the death certified. Doris McLean goes to New York. Her husband collects the insurance. But didn't meet her in New York, as he said he would. 2 years ago this happened, Don. Today, she comes in and says, I'm tired of waiting for him. We cheated you. Do something to us.
She also said she'd read a notice that her husband's going to marry some other girl. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, not to me, Don. At least not all of it.
Why? Why not? What are you looking for?
The holes. The holes. And there are plenty of them, Don. Look, for one reason, she told it the same way both times. For the second reason, if all this happened on the spur of the moment in Los Angeles, that is, the girl came into the doctor's office off the street and died suddenly, why would the doctor bother to call New Jersey? Why wouldn't he call the Los Angeles police, for instance?
Because he had the insurance thing in mind?
Well, what do you think?
Now, look, Johnny, I think you're pushing too hard in here.
I'm trying to tell you what we're up against.
All we have to do is verify her story.
Yeah, well, there's something cockeyed in the way it comes out. According to Mrs. McLean's statement, the doctor thought of the insurance trick as he went along. That is, after he called Jersey City and found out the dead girl in his office had no one else in the world because her mother had died a couple of days before. After he saw he had a good chance.
Yeah?
He wouldn't have known he had a chance to pull the trick if he'd done what he was supposed to do and called the Los Angeles police.
Yes, but...
Now, that's important. And look, here's another thing. Mrs. McLean says she was acting as receptionist in his office when this strange girl came in. I don't know about you, but every receptionist I've ever seen in a doctor's office will ask you your name and address before you see the doctor. Mrs. McLean didn't do that at all.
But
they'll get your name and address unless they already know it. Where's Mrs. McLean now?
Over at the New Hartford Hotel. I asked Sam Benson to keep an eye on her until we file charges and take her into custody.
Well, you can call him off.
Now, look here, Johnny.
Every word she has told us will have to be verified before we can take any action like that. Every word.
I don't know whether I want you to handle this or not.
That's okay with me, either way.
Now, wait, Johnny. You want some more coffee?
No, thanks.
Let's not argue anymore.
Okay, let's not.
Mrs. McLean admitted she helped her husband cheat us out of $10,000. We've got that on paper. Look here. I made a check on the policy. We issued a straight life policy in Doris Mary McLean in Los Angeles, April 23rd, 1945. According to our records, Mrs. McLean passed away February 1st, 1954.
Yeah, yeah.
Claim was filed by the beneficiary, husband, David Earl McLean, M.D., February 4th, and paid off on the 10th. $10,000, full claim. Here you are.
Uh-huh.
And that's a photo stand of the death certificate attached.
Yeah. Cause, coronary thrombosis.
Now look at that signature. Dr. Willis Reed. That's the same doctor she said her husband called in.
I know, I know. What else?
Business about her living and working in New York in a medical lab. This is the name of the place.
Mm-hmm.
She said she'd used the name of Patricia Kennedy. Well, I put in a call to their personnel manager. I described Mrs. McLean to him, and he said that sounded like her. Checked out. They'd been with him almost 2 years. Well, that's about it.
Well, I call the airport, and they'll get me out to Los Angeles by tomorrow morning. Thought it'd take a few hours in New York to check some other things out.
Joe, that looks pretty definite to me, especially with her statement and all the things she said. So what have you got to worry about, Johnny?
All the things she didn't say. Expense account item 3, $38.14. Transportation, Hartford, Connecticut to New York, New York. I checked my bag at Idlewild and took the limousine in as far as the Waldorf. Expense account item 4, $3, cab fare and tip. Number 22, 57th Street. Doris McLean's residence, where she'd lived as Patricia Kennedy. Apartment 23. I talked to the manager.
This is her apartment, Mr. Dollar.
I see. How long has she lived here?
Moved in 2 years ago next month, March 1954.
Good tenant.
Very quiet.
Ever talk to her?
Not much. Christmas time, we had a drink together down in my apartment with my wife. First time I knew she worked in a medical laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Does she have any friends in the building that I could talk to?
Not that I know about. She keeps to herself, minds her own business. May I ask where she is now?
In Hartford, Connecticut, at the New Hartford Hotel, if you want to talk to her about anything.
I might want to talk to her about you.
So?
You knock on my door and say you're an insurance investigator and you want to look at her apartment. I saw your credentials and all that, but I don't know about you now.
She asked me to investigate a matter. This is part of the investigation. Well, if you feel any better, why don't you telephone her long distance, tell her I'm here. I'll pay the charges.
Oh, that's okay.
Do you mind if I look around?
I'll have to stay with you, Mr. Dollar.
An hour later, I located a Mr. Platt at the Hyde Park Laboratories where Doris McLean had been working using the name Patricia Kennedy. His answers concerning her conduct, habits, and attitude were identical with those of the apartment house manager. I talked to three people who had been working with her in the lab. Same result. Expense account item 5, $2.25. Long-distance phone call to Don Taylor in Hartford.
Yeah? What'd you find out, Johnny?
All clear here. Her story checks out about living in New York.
I talked to the coroner's office in Jersey City.
Oh?
According to their records, a Constance May Corbett, age 61, died there January 27th, 1954. Body unclaimed. County buried her. Coroner's office unable to locate the next of kin, a daughter. Teresa Mary Corbett, believed living in Los Angeles. Well?
Well, what do you want me to say?
Coincidence or not, this part of it all checks out.
Yeah, I'll admit that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Expense account item 6, $113.65. Transportation, New York to Los Angeles. We landed at International Airport in a heavy fog at 8:35 in the morning. By 9:35, I was in my room at the Statler Hotel sleeping. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got up and showered and shaved and had something to eat. There was a special delivery airmail folder for me at the desk from Don Taylor. It contained a flash picture of Doris McLean, a sample of her fingerprints and handwriting, along with the names and addresses of several people in Los Angeles Mrs. McLean thought might be able to identify her. Expense account item 7, $50. Deposit on a rented car to get around Los Angeles. The first three addresses furnished by Mrs. McLean were blanks. No one home or whoever had been there had moved a long time ago. It was beginning to get dark by the time I got to the fourth one, an address on Berendo Street in Hollywood.
Hello?
Hello, I'm looking for Pauline Henderson.
What do you want?
I want to talk to her for a minute. My name's Johnny Dollar.
Well, I'm Pauline Henderson.
Oh, may I come in?
What's your business?
I'm an insurance investigator.
Well, I don't have any insurance and I don't want any.
Well, it's about a case.
Wait a minute, I'll put on a robe.
Yeah, sure.
Hope you aren't going to try to talk me into buying an annuity or something like that.
No, nothing like that, Miss Henderson.
Oh, all right. Johnny Dollar, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Insurance investigator, did you say?
Yes.
Come in.
I thought maybe you could help me.
Well, I'll try. I'm in something of a hurry.
Only take a minute, Miss Henderson. I'd like to have you look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the woman in that picture before, Miss Henderson?
She looks terribly familiar.
Is the light all right?
Yeah, I can see it. My Lord, yes, I know her.
Who is she?
Well, that was Doris McLean.
You're positive?
Yeah, she was married to Dave McLean. He's a doctor here in Los Angeles. She died a year or so ago, very suddenly.
Yes, so I understand. How well did you know Mrs. McLean, Miss Henderson?
Oh, we were friends. I mean, we worked together in a medical lab here before she married Dave.
How long did you know her?
5 or 6 years. What is all this?
Just wanted to make sure this was Mrs. McLean.
My pictures of her, all right.
Yes.
You know, I don't think you've been exactly telling me the truth.
Well, I just had your name on a list, Miss Henderson. I was told that you might be able to recognize a picture of Doris McLean if you saw one.
Who told you that?
I'd rather not say.
My, so mysterious.
Well, I don't mean to be.
You look nice enough. Is that all you want to know?
Yes. Well, one more thing. When did you hear about Mrs. McLean's death?
The day after it happened. I read about it in the paper. It was quite a shock. Doris was always so healthy.
How did Dr. McLean take it?
What?
How did her husband take her death?
Looking at a picture and saying yes or no is one thing. I wish you'd tell me what this is all about.
Let's say I wanted to make sure this was Doris McLean, and I wanted to make sure she died 2 years ago.
If I'm any authority, you can be sure of it.
How about the other part?
Dave McLean?
Yeah.
Well, he got over it, I suppose.
Don't you know?
Well, I haven't seen him since the funeral. What's your name again?
Johnny Dollar.
Where do you live?
Hartford, Connecticut. I'm at the Stafford Hotel here right now. Why?
It just occurred to me, if you wanted someone to look at the picture and identify it, you'd go to Dave McLean and ask him. After all, he was married to her. You'd go to him.
I would.
Yeah. You go to him before anybody else. I think I'll call him and tell him about you. What do you think of that?
That's all right with me, Miss Henderson. Expense account item 8, $3.15. Long distance phone call, Los Angeles to Hartford.
Don Taylor.
Hi, Johnny Dollar. Doris McLean still at the New Hartford Hotel?
Yeah, why?
Better call your private eye pal, Sam Benson, and tell him to keep an eye on her 24 hours a day.
Huh? What are you talking about?
The cat's getting out of the bag here.
What?
I could be wrong, Don. But if I'm right, somebody might want to kill her.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a bit of information about a girl who had a date to die. That's right. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. I love the questioning scene in part one of this story. I thought that it was extraordinarily well done, and it showed Johnny Dollar really just thinking through the whole process. And it's, you know, it's somewhat funny that the insurance agent is just ready to jump the gun and to go ahead and file charges even before looking into the story. Because it doesn't appear to be this way at this point, but it's perfectly possible that this woman had some sort of axe to grind with this doctor and wasn't really the wife. So Johnny, you know, minding his P's and Q's, doing an excellent job. Unfortunately, we do not have part three of this serial, so we'll bring you part four and part five. Plus, at the start of the show, there is a book by John Abbott the Who is Johnny Dollar matter, in which he has summaries of the scripts for these lost episodes, so I'll share that for you on Friday. On Wednesday, be sure and we'll be join us for Miss Pinkerton Incorporated, a program starring Joan Blondell and Dick Powell. So be sure and listen on Wednesday for that, and on Friday we'll wrap up Johnny Dollar. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have this from Sherman, who says, Adam, love your show. I've gotten caught up through all the old episodes and wait with excitement for each new episode. I tell everyone I can about your wonderful show. Keep up the good work in bringing back the theater of the mind. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll see you, as I said, Friday for the conclusion of Johnny Dollar, and Wednesday, join us for Miss Pinkerton Incorporated. In the meanwhile, your comments appreciated. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.